Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are Going In Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
Yeah, welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steve and Larson. And anywhere fine podcasts are available, be sure to hit that subscribe button and the notify button so you can find out when all the new Going In Raws are released. We're also available on the Patreon at patreon.com/Steve and Larson, where we just updated our reward tiers. We're offering a lot of things for very reasonable prices, including at the $5 best value mark, which is the Going In Raw Ring Crew tier. You get access to all of our Raw, SmackDown, and NXT 205 Live recap live streams.
Yeah, you mentioned how our tiers are all reasonable. We have one that's not. No one has contributed to that tier yet.
Oh, so update on the Vince McMahon tier. Going In Raw's Vince McMahon tier of $200,000.
Yes.
For Larson to two sweep me.
Yes.
So you're not. Let's see if anybody's pledged yet. No, nobody's pledged yet. So that $200,000 a month tier
but don't
is
do
still
it.
Open.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. We're also available at prowrestlingtees.com/Going In Raw. You can get all the great Going In Raw merchandise there.
Yes.
But today we're going to talk about Extreme Rules.
Yeah.
Wrestling. Extreme Rules, WWE 2017.
Yeah.
2015.
So I don't have my punishment shirt on because I lost at predictions.
Oh, yeah. Boy, that was kind of a stunner. Well, because the betting odds, like, as of, like, Friday, they were, like, way against me.
Yeah.
They were, like, way against me. Everything was against me.
Neither of us did terribly well. And,
okay, but here's the funny thing. So, okay. We've said in the past that we weren't going to look at the betting odds.
Well, just before we did predictions.
Before we did predictions. But then we always like to, you know, take a look at them before the show. It doesn't really ruin anything for us because they change so often.
Yeah.
And somebody tweeted this out yesterday. They said something along the lines of, it really bugs me that, and I forget who it is. I apologize. They said, it really bugs me that the people close to WWE Creative can, you know, bet money on this kind of stuff and then win, given that, well, here's the thing. Number one, you have to bet an obscene amount of money to make a small amount of money back.
When there's a huge favorite, yeah.
Yeah, and they change so often that it's really risky to do that. So yeah. I don't really think anybody's actually making any money on these betting odds. It's just interesting. Oh, that's great. That's fantastic. Do we wear these now?
Well, I'm going to. This is my punishment shirt.
Oh, I love it. That's great. I'll put this on right there with you, buddy.
Bro me.
Because here's the thing, and this is the funny thing, is that, like, everybody says, or somebody mentioned, like, how do you guys do punishments considering Vince McMahon doesn't, like, he changes his mind. Like, we're predicting this stuff prior.
Yeah.
That's kind of the game of it.
Yeah.
It's like, that's just kind of the game of it. And I'm totally fine with that.
I think at this point, I'm more interested in just coming up with interesting stuff that could happen.
Yeah, and it doesn't.
So I know I'm going
to
lose.
Trying to figure out what the most predictable shit is and seeing if they actually go with it. Because, yeah, like on the last day, I think starting yesterday morning, like at one point, Seth Rollins was the favorite.
Well, yeah, yeah.
How did it go?
Going into on Saturday, Samoa Joe was a favorite. Sunday morning, Seth was a favorite, but just barely.
Yeah.
And then maybe a couple hours before Extreme Rules started, Samoa Joe was the favorite again.
Yeah.
And I believe all the favorites as of... That's a large shirt on you.
It's a big shirt.
This is a medium, and even this feels large.
Was it XL?
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll shrink up in the wash.
I think all the favorites won yesterday.
I really need to make this into a belly shirt. That'd be dope. That'll be like a real punishment. Anyways, punishment for all the people watching this. You said all the favorites won yesterday?
I believe so.
No, Ambrose was favorite at one point. Ambrose was favorite at one point. Bailey was favorite.
No, I mean
at one
all point. The favorites that closed.
Oh, that closed? Yeah.
When the smart money came in. As
yeah, no, they were all right.
All the favorites won.
One of our friends won some lunch over that.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think that his friends don't know that betting odds exist.
Oh.
And so he was over here, and I gave him. He was like, dude, I got lunch riding on this. And I was like, oh, well, here's betting odds. He's like, oh, my God, these work. He was very happy about it. So anyways, yeah, what'd you think of the, like, you know, all that stuff aside, predictions aside, what'd you think of the show in general?
It was all right. The main event opened up a lot of storyline opportunities.
I thought it was more good than bad.
Yeah.
To be honest with you. There was one stinker. There was two stinkers. But we'll start at the beginning. I thought Dean versus Miz wasn't a bad match. I thought that the finish, they tried to do the swerve with the obvious thing, and they didn't go that obvious with it, but they still went kind of obvious with it. And I honestly, what's the name of that ref? I forget.
Oh, I don't remember.
John something. John, is that John Cone? Something like that. I don't know. Anyways, he did such a good job of like being idiot ref at the end. Like not knowing, you know, he threw it like Maurice hits Miz.
Yeah, like just 5 minutes prior, he was really on it.
Yeah.
But like, if you just think about it logically, if he had, what motivation would Ambrose have to purposely run into him?
Yeah, I know.
None.
I
zero.
I know. And the funny thing is, like, you would think, here's the thing, okay, we know this because we've heard this. Before any NBA game, before any NFL games, the refs get together and they discuss, okay, here's what to look out for in this particular game. You know, be it these guys in particular have a history, so let's keep all the chippiness down. This guy tends to palm the ball. Let's keep an eye on that, et cetera, et cetera. They commiserate. It would seem, I would think it would make all the sense in the world, logically, even in wrestling, for the refs to get together beforehand. You know,
and talk about certain competitors' proclivities.
Exactly.
In
say,
terms
look,
of how they approach their matches, right?
We're pretty sure that Miz is going to try something shady because of the nature of the stipulations here. He's probably going to have Maurice slap him. The Drifter was literally singing about interfering on the Miz's behalf on Raw. So let's look out for that stuff and make sure that Dean doesn't get screwed out of this, that, you know, he adheres. If Dean kicks the Miz in the balls, then yeah, let's DQ him and Miz gets the title. That's totally fine.
Yeah. The crowd was really into Dean Ambrose. The crowd was a really hot crowd the whole show. The
crowd was a good crowd.
Great crowd.
It really was, yeah.
Great crowd. You know, there's a spot where Dean tweaks his knee doing the top rope move, and the Miz starts working it. There is that funny spot where the Miz rips off the turnbuckle pad, and Ambrose gets him about to ram his head.
Yeah.
Miz's head into it and stops himself.
Yeah.
That was
a
nice touch.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, the finish seems like they were going to try to – they just tried to do something that wasn't obvious or as obvious as the obvious finish.
Right.
But yeah, it seemed odd to me.
Yeah. But otherwise, I mean, I thought it was a decent match.
Yeah,
but
it was okay.
The finish, you're right. I mean, it was obvious, but I mean, you know, what are you going to do? And I was just, it was sort of, the question was, were they going to go the obvious route or were they not going to go the obvious route? And they still, for the most part, they went the obvious route. Although, you know, I'm glad that they allowed Miz to get in his finish to finish the match, and they booked it strong.
Yeah.
And it laid out Dean Ambrose. So I thought that was good. Then we had a Bailey interview portending things to come.
Yes.
Like, you know, that is not a well-built feud at all.
No, and they are
not good.
Not booking Bailey to look good at all.
No, they're not. We'll get to that in a second. Bailey basically just
Well, she says she watched a lot of ECW in preparation to use the kendo stick.
Yeah.
And then she mentioned Wonder Woman,
mm-hmm.
which I want to check out.
Yeah, me too.
Looks like really good.
Saying it's really
yeah,
good.
Yeah, we'll check that out.
Yeah, so Bailey did that. Then we had Noam Dar, Alicia Fox versus Rich Swann. Rich Homie Swann, according to Sasha Banks and Sasha Banks. She calls him Rich Homie Swann,
oh.
I think. I think she's just like letting everybody know. Sasha does not want to be doing this. I think that's kind of clear. Number one, her and Rich Swann have like the least chemistry between any tag team I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, I was actively rooting for Noam Dar and Alicia Fox. And then the betting odds came in saying that Rich Swann and Sasha Banks are going to win. I was like, well, I get that none of this matters at all. Maybe it was because everything else was so heel heavy.
Yeah.
That was probably why. This was definitely the match that they're like, okay, well, we know who, like, what definites we want to win. And there's a lot of heels. And so we need a face win. Mm-hmm. And that's what this mm-hmm. was. I mean, this was what it was. There was that one impressive bit at the very finish when Sasha came off the top.
Yeah, with the double knee. Yeah.
Under that, because that was, sometimes there are certain moves that they make look way too easy.
Yeah.
And that looks like when she did it, Noam Dar is a small guy.
Yeah.
And the fact that he was able to kind of control the trajectory, make sure she didn't die and he didn't die also at the same time. And everything was fine as she got right up and was like, you know, celebrating.
I always think it's impressive when she does that, the top rope one, that her aim is so good that she makes sure the knees hits the shoulders, not one of them accidentally hits someone's
face.
Dude,
you could mess somebody up big time. Oh, yes. Like, you can crush a trachea. I mean, that sort of
You can break someone's nose.
Break somebody's nose, kill them.
There is a couple of good character bits between Noam Dar and Alicia Fox, mm-hmm. the first two tags.
Yeah.
They didn't tag. They hugged each other. Yeah, that was good.
That was good. I'm bummed out they didn't go over, though. Like, here's the thing. Every match should matter.
I agree.
Oh, by the way, we didn't even talk about the pre-show match. But yeah. I totally called that one.
Yeah.
Apollo Crews took on Kalisto, got the win with some help from Titus O'Neil. I was bummed. Every match should matter, okay? So this should matter. There's stuff here that shouldn't matter. This shouldn't just be, oh, well, let's have the faces win because we've got a bunch of heels winning. Noam Dar and Alicia Fox, if you want them to get over in their gimmick, they should have won this.
I agree.
Should have won this. So imagine on 205 Live or on Raw, maybe they'll do something to come back. And maybe this will extend this a little bit. I know Sasha does not want to be doing this at all. Like, that much is so obvious. But she's really trying her best. She's giving it her all, I think.
Rich Swann got the win in his hometown.
Which was weird. They even talked about that on Raw Talk.
Yep.
Sasha Banks said he broke the curse. So... yeah, again, you know, I wonder how much that bummed out Vince. Vince, we have to look. Vince, I'm doing my. Is Briscoe still around? Vince,
I think so.
Mr. McMahon. Yeah, that's what I'm sorry, Mr. Yeah. McMahon.
Yeah,
there's a lot of heels going over tonight. We need to have these kids go over.
Who?
Rich Swann and Sasha.
What? Wait, isn't this in Rich Swann's hometown? I love to see them lose.
Yeah, but Mr. McMahon. Anyways, then Swann went up, hit the Phoenix Splash for the win after Sasha destroyed Noam Dar with her knees. It was great. Oh, this was my favorite part of the whole entire show. This was great. Oh, this made me so happy. The Drifter got a full, like, 3-minute song.
I know.
It was amazing.
I know.
He didn't even have a match. They said, ladies and gentlemen, Elias Samson.
Spotlight on the Drifter.
And this crowd, I could not tell if this crowd loved it, hated it, or what. It was such a weird reaction because it was very passionate. A lot of people hated it, but I think a lot of people loved it. And certain people were participating, putting up their lights, like the Bray Wyatt thing.
Yeah.
His song was amazing. What did it start out with? Baltimore bathed in filth.
Something like that, yeah.
His people are just the same. Oh, my gosh. He said, I was hanging out at the docks seeing all the people.
Well, at the harbor.
The harbor. Yeah. Watching all the people. And I thought of this, and I wrote this song for the city. Baltimore is bathed in filth. Oh, man. He runs down Baltimore. Poor Baltimore. Like, I mean, it's a freaking target. You know what I mean? Like, what was it? The Wire and Homicide. Two shows based on Baltimore. Not exactly, you know, the most fun shows in the world. And he's dragging on Baltimore. Oh, it was great. And a straight face the entire time.
Well, I could tell before he started singing, there's times where he was trying not to crack a smile.
He was giddy. He was a bit giddy on the inside.
Yeah.
Baltimore bathed in filth. Oh, it was great. I loved it. And nothing like, not even like, and even, I think even Corey Graves, like, as much as he tried, because it's great because Michael Cole and Booker T were kind of trolling Corey Graves a little bit because they were saying, well, I thought it was great.
Yeah, yeah.
Corey Graves, like, I'll have to talk to Otunga and see if, what is it?
You could sue someone for
performing or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
For, yeah.
Even Corey is keeping it a little understated with his trash talking to the Drifter.
Well, he said, you know, I know, he's saying he can get it done in the ring. But, I mean, the thing is, he, like, as opposed to his time in NXT, where he was essentially, like, he would either squash jobbers or get killed by, like, you know, stars. In here, they're protecting him.
Yeah.
They're protecting the Drifter a little bit. It's great. I love it, man. Oh, give that guy the IC title.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what, though? Going back to that IC thing, though, now that I mentioned it. I do like that Miz has it again. Talk about somebody who is like laser focused on the IC title.
Oh, I know.
And making it a million bucks.
Seem important.
It does. Yeah, it totally does. I love that.
It wasn't like Dean's run was spectacular in any regard.
Dean, you can't. Yeah, but nothing about Dean is spectacular in any regard. Next up, we had the stinker match of the night. I think this was Bayley versus Alex Bliss. Wasn't a very good match.
What do you think of this? When I was watching this match, I thought back to John Cena's match against Bray Wyatt at WrestleMania 30.
Okay.
Where Bray introduced the chair and was trying to get Cena to hit him with it.
Mm-hmm.
So Cena had a choice between winning the match, but by doing so, violating his own principles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's kind of what I thought of here, where, like, in one sense, Bayley wanted to hit Alexa with the kendo stick, because mm-hmm. the commentary team is really pushing this, like, whether Bayley had it within her.
Yeah.
To get extreme, essentially.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's that one moment where she got the stick and was, you know, kind of like preparing to hit Bliss with it, but taking her time.
Mm.
And that's what I thought. I was like, okay, she's kind of seeing if she has it in her.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that really does Bayley a whole lot of favors.
You know what, too, is that what you just mentioned there would have been like a fantastic angle to take on this, as opposed to let's talk about her past and how she's a little immature. They brushed against the whole notion of can Bayley get extreme. I'm not going to say they brushed about it. They talked about it a couple times.
Yeah, I mean, her promo mentioned that directly.
I think it would have been a bunch more interesting if Alexa, once Bayley did exactly what you're saying with Bray Wyatt, you know, Bayley has it and Alexa starts yelling at her, come on, hit me with it.
Yeah.
You think you can get extreme, just go ahead and hit me with it, as opposed to like...
He set up as you know, like Wyatt and Cena was a battle of principles, essentially, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Like Cena stood up for his
mm-hmm.
and still ended up winning, which probably shouldn't have happened. But anyways, it's like Alexa Bliss challenging Bayley, you know, push her to the brink.
Mm-hmm.
Bayley, that is, and then challenger, hit me.
Well, that's the thing. Bayley shouldn't like be willing to dive in headfirst into any situation.
Well, she mentioned that too. She said, "I didn't come here to hurt people."
Yeah,
she came here to WWE for competition.
Right, that should have been the crux of the entire build. But that's
instead
what it was.
The last promo before the match.
Yeah, exactly.
But instead, you know, they spend weeks upon weeks, you know, like belittling Bayley,
mm-hmm.
and then she goes in this match, gets the kendo stick, looks at it, maybe. You know, prepares to hit, and then takes how many shots from the kendo stick?
Yeah.
7, 8, 9.
Yeah.
And doesn't hit Bliss once with it?
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't do anything for Bayley.
They have no idea what to do with Bayley.
No.
Here's the thing, though, is that I think they really have high hopes for her. Like, I don't think that this is really going to change. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure Alexa will probably get it. Do you think this feud's going to continue on the Great Balls of Fire?
In all honesty, I kind of hope not.
Yeah, well, I hope not either. But I also don't want to see Bayley get buried.
Same here.
There's a lot of money to be made with her.
Yes.
But they also might need to take a pause.
What
did
you think about Bayley's reaction, crowd reaction last night? There were some boos.
Oh, there were definitely boos. I was one of them. And that's aimed at creative. I mean, there's no... Like, I mentioned this on Twitter last night, at Real Going In Raw. Alexa Bliss is a well-defined character.
Yes.
And that's why they, I believe, kept the belt on her.
Yeah.
Because she is a well-defined character. Is it the kind of character that everybody appreciates? No. But she's well-defined. Best talker they have in the women's division.
Yeah.
And it's too early for her to lose the belt anyways. It'll make her look weak. It wouldn't have done her any favors for Alexa Bliss to have dropped that belt.
I know, but I don't think it would. I mean, they risk... I mean, just the way they've written Bayley to date, it's hard to take. I'm trying to think of the right way to put it. I mean, it's like it's hard to take her as an in-ring competitor seriously, I guess.
I know.
Based on, you know, those, that stretch where Sasha was helping her win matches.
Yeah.
And then every opportunity, her opponents just...
I'll give her this.
Belittle her.
I'll give her this, though. This is why she has... This is why I think they can sort of hit the pause button and then figure it out and then come back to her. Is because in terms of... In terms of the character, she is so unique that you can come back and realistically put her on a win streak.
Yeah.
And everything will be fine. I mean, in the same respect that I've talked about that with like Bray Wyatt and a couple others, I think, is that you can realistically put her back up there. And on top of that, because she has the whole, oh, I'm sheepish, I'm, you know, I'm somewhat childish in nature, whatever they're going at. You know, she can eat losses and they can somehow spin that as part of her character.
Yeah.
The underdog thing.
And, they, you know, I'm hopeful because they got it right in NXT with Bayley.
Yeah.
They booked her.
Yeah.
So if they can find that inspiration again.
I would find it more, like, if they put her in there with, like, I was hoping they'd do, like, a Nia Jax thing. They did that briefly
did
in
that
NXT.
Yeah.
But not to, like, a large extent. So I don't know. I think I'd rather see something like that than Alexa Bliss. Alexa Bliss doing the Mean Girls thing is just too obvious. So, and I don't think Nia Jax can, like, it's not her character to go there, you know? So I don't know. They definitely need to find like a different tack to take with Bayley. It'll be interesting to see what happens on Raw tonight. A lot of this stuff is going to be,
I know, especially the main event scene has a lot of possibilities for interesting stuff.
How, yeah. Do you think it's going to be interesting at all?
Probably not.
I don't know, man. You throw Brock in there or anything. Like, you never know with Brock.
You know, it seems pretty obvious what the matchups are going to be at SummerSlam, at least for four of the competitors in the main event.
We'll talk about that
at
the main event.
Exactly.
Next up, we had, finally, the Hardys losing versus Sheamus and Cesaro. So, yeah, I mean, we had said, I think both of our general sort of tact on this was, we'll believe the Hardys will lose when we see it.
And now we saw it.
And it was kind of because, Jeff, number one, I really like this match. I thought this was a really fun match. I love that the bell rings and Sheamus and Cesaro do the most logical thing in the world.
Yeah.
Is to start running up the
cage. You know, although I felt like a lot of times one or multiple competitors, instead of just going for the door, which seems like the easiest way out, tried to scale the cage.
Yeah.
There was at least three times where I just thought, looking at my television, why aren't you just going for the door?
Well, they can't. Yeah, I know. They can't use all the logic in the world.
I understand
they
that.
They have to stop short a little bit to give us a match. But no, I see your point. If they're going to go to that well, then go to that well. Yeah. In this match, the team wins when both members escape the cage, and that was a big...
But they both have to be on the outside.
They both have to be on the outside, and that played into the finish.
Yes.
Let's see here. Sheamus powerbombed Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, Jeff Hardy and Cesaro were staying next to each other in the cage, kind of fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Sheamus comes underneath Hardy and powerbombs him, but Cesaro was still holding on to Hardy.
Yeah.
So both of them got powerbombed.
He got it, too.
Pretty much.
So Jeff Hardy had this one, or kind of had, like he had escaped.
He had escaped, and so he was on the outside trying to help Matt get the upper hand.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was this one spot where Jeff Hardy and Cesaro were fighting at the doorway. Hardy slams the door into Cesaro's arm. Right afterwards, Sheamus comes up, gives Hardy a brogue kick through the door, knocking him back. And it was kind of, I think it was after that, Jeff took his shirt off and got back into the match.
Yeah, decided to get extreme. He came off the top of the cage.
Oh, there's that one great part before that where Matt Hardy is, you know, halfway over the top.
Yeah.
And Jeff is pulling him down.
Yeah.
Outside, and Cesaro and Sheamus are trying to pull Matt Hardy back into the ring.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, there was the top rope white noise on Matt Hardy. That's what you were talking about. That looked precarious as hell.
That's, you can tell that both
the crap of
Sheamus and Cesaro being
very careful. Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah, but they hit it good, and that was fine.
Yeah.
Then
Jeff does Whisper in the Wind off the top of the cage.
What was the name? Itchweed?
Yeah.
Itchweed does a Whisper in the Wind on
and
the
so
top.
Like everybody's laid out
and
then Matt kind of comes to and starts pulling Jeff.
It's like dead weight basically
through the door. As that's happening, Sheamus and Cesaro start climbing the cage,
right,
and their feet hit the mat just, you know, a fraction of a second,
just barely,
before Matt can pull Jeff out. And it was well done. that Matt was pulling Jeff. And on the opposite side of the cage, mm-hmm. Matt could see Sheamus and Cesaro climbing off, so the timing could be,
exactly.
could be close.
Yeah, wonderful.
Yes.
So we have new tag team champions, now the two-time WWE Raw tag team champions. Sheamus and Cesaro. Do you believe the rumors about this is going to lead directly to a Jeff solo run? And
well, it'd be solo runs for both.
It'd be a solo run for both, exactly. For both. Do you think that's going to happen tonight? They're going to start doing that tonight?
Maybe, but I would suspect, I don't know, maybe after SummerSlam that will actually really start being the thing.
They should just dance around that. They should just do the broken thing, but just don't call it broken.
I know.
Just do it. What are they going to say? Oh, you can't say wonderful.
Or have them just come up with something similar but different.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the evolution of the broken
character.
Yeah,
we've said that before. Yeah. Just evolve it.
Yeah.
Torn, you know. Mm-hmm.
Fractured.
Yeah, exactly. What are they going to do? Sue you over using the word incident? There was another.
Well, I mean, there's
there was a situation.
Yeah,
you know,
there's synonyms for incident. Just go to a thesaurus, look up wonderful.
Wonderful, exactly. Broken.
Excellent. Well, that's just Bill and Ted, though.
Excellent. Get a instead of a xylophone, get something else. I don't know.
Get a
recorder.
Yeah, something.
Yeah,
there's ways around all of it.
The flute seems broken. Next up, we had I kind of like this match, and I didn't like this match. I thought there was some clunky stuff going on here. Neville versus Austin Aries.
What was clunky about?
I don't know. There were a couple sequences that didn't feel as crisp. Austin, number one, Austin Aries had total lose face coming out.
That's the first note
that
I put
dude,
down.
He had lose face, man.
And Corey Graves said something like, "Oh, he's looking focused." Like, no, Corey, that's lose face.
That's yeah. He was told earlier.
He didn't seem terribly happy about it.
No, he didn't. Because this doesn't. I was totally worried, man. I was like, man, Austin Aries is going to win this thing. And then as soon as I saw him, well, I saw the betting odds right before it, and I was like, really? But Neville's been, I go back to my point, Neville's been doing really, really good work.
I wouldn't have minded this finish so much if Aries hadn't tapped.
Oh, this finish needed to be carried, like, if he tapped.
He needed to be in that Rings of Saturn for a minute.
A long time.
Instead of just instantly, basically.
He seemed just resigned to tap. He was like, not getting out of this one.
Well, it's funny because I watched it this morning. Before he tapped, he literally nodded his head.
I know, he it's did.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, I'm tapping out now. Come
yeah,
on,
just
let's
tapping
do
out
it.
Now.
Oh, man. So I don't know. I felt that maybe it was on him. I don't know. Maybe he. And then, you know, it's like, because I'm sure Neville and Austin Aries are probably buddies. And so Neville's probably like, yeah, man, I feel kind of bad that, you know, my buddy's not getting my title off me. But, you know, I'm going to do what I can do.
Yeah, still got to put on the performance.
I think one of the bigger spots in this, too, was his attempt at the suicide dive that Neville ducked out of the way of. But the TV was directed so bad that it just looked like he was. Because what they don't understand is camera's right here and you see Neville in place to take the suicide dive or to eat it. And then the camera goes with Austin Aries, so we don't see Neville ducking out of the way. So then when he does fly, it's like, why did you do that, idiot? Yeah. Like, he wasn't there. For all we know, he ducked out of the way just in time, which is, I think, the point they were trying to make.
Yeah.
But it didn't look that way. So it just looked weird. It looked kind of weak. When he gave him the five arm, the discus five arm, Neville didn't, like, collapse to the floor. He didn't drop like a sack of potatoes. He sort of stood there and went wobbly on his feet. That's not a good look.
Yeah.
So there were little things like that that kind of bugged me about this match. And then there was a couple times when I just felt out of sync.
Yeah, but I think all in all, in terms of the storytelling, it was a well-told
story. No, otherwise it was, yeah, I know. Otherwise, like, you know, that's... I'm not going to say they're nitpicky, but they're kind of because, yeah, otherwise it's a good
match.
There
were stretches where Neville, after Aries seemingly re-injured his knee, Neville was working it over a little bit.
Yeah.
And then there was that spot where Aries seemed to hurt his arm. That's what commentary said.
Yeah.
We took that shot to his head and, I guess, shoulder on the ring apron.
Right.
And that seemed to be, you know, the avenue by which Neville could really work the arm and with the Rings of Saturn.
Yeah.
So I just felt, I mean, I know, especially after watching the main event and seeing the finish to that, you can't have the same finish for two matches in a row.
Right.
It just seemed weird, first of all, for Aries to tap out at all.
Yeah.
And then to do it so quickly.
I know.
After all, I mean, I assume what the point is that Austin Aries has been taking so much punishment over the last few weeks that finally his bite has kind of had enough.
Yeah.
I understand.
Well, also,
that.
He ate the, was it 450? What does he do?
No, the Red Arrow.
The Red Arrow.
To his back.
To his back, which I thought that was a really clever transition into the Rings of Saturn.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I thought that was really
and
good.
And Ares positioned himself.
Oh, perfectly, yeah.
Fantastic.
It was great. But he was like, oh, I just want to get this over with.
Yeah.
I just want to get this over with. Be interesting to see if they do Neville versus TJP at this point.
I kind of feel like that partnership needs to last a year.
Yeah, I want it to go on.
Let it build.
Further and like keep on like getting to like more and more breaking points, you know? But I don't know if they're going to do that.
Yeah, I don't know either. Because if the end game for all this is a face TJP as champion.
We're back to square one.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I know. I
But that's kind of like the thing I ran into with the finish of this match, having Aries tap out so quickly is, you know, he was top face on 205 Live.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's, you know, other competitors potentially in line to, you know, take over that mantle. You have Akira Tozawa, you have mm-hmm. Cedric Alexander, even Jack Gallagher, maybe mm-hmm. give him another chance at Neville. But this would have felt, I don't know, this would have felt like 205 Live was entering a new phase
to have
Aries win that belt.
Yeah, I know.
So it was just kind of disappointing.
I'd rather have like a really super strong champion and for like longevity, you know,
to establish the belt. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I understand that.
And I think to me, like when I was looking at this before we did our predictions, I chose Neville because I thought exactly that. I'm like, you know what? He has stolen the scene. In every shot he's in, he's stolen the show. And that's against Austin Aries. And Austin Aries is great.
Yeah, Austin Aries is fantastic.
But Neville is at, it's not just hyperbole on his character's part.
Neville level.
He's at the Neville level. And yeah. Nobody's there with him. And so I thought it would have been, it just would have seemed like a step down for the title. I mean, the problem with Austin Aries is he's better as a heel. But there is no better heel right now than Neville.
Yeah.
So I don't know how you deal with that. But I just felt that putting the belt on him. Yeah, I agree with you. Like, there should be another phase of 205 Live, especially given how like the ratings are or whatever you want to call. I guess they call them ratings.
Yeah, I guess so.
The
viewership,
numbers, the viewership, or lack thereof. But you know, I guess you always go with the strong hand. It's WWE, they don't always go with the strong hand.
Yeah,
they rarely do. Anyways, that led to our main event. I love this match. I thought it was great.
Yeah, it was fun. They developed a lot of stories, and there's a lot of ways they can go going through the summer in terms of storylines.
So we had Finn Balor, Bray Wyatt, Seth Rollins, Mojo, Roman Reigns in an Extreme Rules match.
Yeah,
Fatal 5-way.
Huge pop for Seth when he came out.
Oh, yeah.
He's top face on Raw, without a doubt.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
How come Finn Balor wasn't Demon Balor?
Because it's not a big four, dude. Not a big
well,
four.
That's not... I mean, he's only been on one of those shows, SummerSlam.
Yes.
So that pattern hasn't been established, but
SummerSlam is a big four.
Every takeover match he had in NXT, it was Demon Balor.
Because all the takeovers are big fours, dude.
Not when he was in NXT.
Oh.
I think they were just quarterly, and they weren't attached to...
It's 4 year, man. Oh, they weren't attached?
They weren't always attached. That's a more recent development. They just did that
the one in
last
London,
year.
He was Jack the Ripper.
Yeah, and that wasn't attached to any pay-per-view.
Ooh, interesting.
So I'm saying is... Historically speaking, throughout Finn's career in WWE, whenever he had a match at a pay-per-view, it was Demon Balor.
Yeah, but come on, man.
But unless they're using this in terms of storyline, because he's kind of been eating some losses.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So maybe he needs to tap into Demon Balor.
He needs at least a Demon Balor, Great Balls of Fire.
Yeah.
All right, so you were talking about, so Samoa Joe ended up winning this. I thought it was a really fun match. We did have a couple of really good stories. We had Bray Wyatt and Samoa Joe teaming up and leveling everybody.
They were, but as always... Very uneasy. very tenuous, this partnership.
What would a ride-along be with these guys? What would that be like?
Oh, fantastic.
Oh, man! Where do you want to stop for food, Smojo?
Because there were several times where they were teaming up, and one of them would be like telling the other one, stay out of my way.
Yeah.
Go do this, stuff like that. And there's so many times where Bray Wyatt was like,
Yeah.
Okay.
He'd always have a smile on it. I always love whenever Bray gets into trouble because he gets a smile on his face. And he's like, oh, hold on, man. Hold on, man. We're together in this, man. You're part of my family now.
Another interesting thing is at the start of the match, of course, Roman came out last. And as soon as his music hits, boos.
Oh, yeah.
Chorus of boos. By the time he gets in the ring, there's a lot more cheers.
It's all confusing, man. I'm even confused by Roman Reigns.
The match starts with this. I thought it was actually pretty funny where Finn and Bray started fighting. Seth and Joe started fighting.
Yeah.
And Roman just stands in the corner just kind of
Like, tell me that's not a microcosm for the WWE right now.
I know.
For the Raw main event scene.
Just kind of looking at everybody fighting around him. And that happened. He walks out to the middle of the ring. Everybody else is fighting, I think, until Bray gets in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And they start fighting.
Yeah.
Reigns eventually clears the entire ring. Again, mm-hmm. not a surprise.
Nope.
There's just one bit where Finn was stomping Bray, I believe. Reigns first. Reigns rolls out. Bray rolls in. Finn just keeps stomping him. And then Bray rolls out. Joe rolls in. Finn just keeps stomping him.
Yeah.
It was pretty funny.
There are a lot of little cool moments like that. Yeah. I like when Joe and Bray were just, where they had the big steel steps and they were just running around.
Going around the ring. Yeah, that happened right after this.
Taking everybody out. It was great. There was that. There was a moment where I think it was Joe and Bray like teamed up on Roman and Seth was just standing there like, what do I do? And then he just goes and attacks Joe.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Bray brings a chair into the ring, and then both Joe and Bray do sentons
mm-hmm.
on Finn with the chair over him.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, the last third of this match was just action packed.
Yeah, it was so much fun. It was like the antithesis of what we see on Raw every week.
Yeah. Bray slammed Reigns at the announce table,
mm-hmm.
and then there's this great spot where Seth Rollins had already. Done a suicide dive on Joe.
Yeah.
Bray runs around the other side of the ring. Seth is primed to do another suicide dive. Bray throws Joe
mm-hmm.
in front of him, so he takes a suicide dive from Seth.
Yeah.
So
there are a couple of
friends no more.
Yeah. Seth ended up doing a frog splash on Bray through the announce table.
Yeah. That was later on.
So much height on that. That was crazy.
There's that great sequence where Finn puts Bray on the announce table,
mm-hmm.
and then right as Finn is about to, I think, scale the top rope and mm-hmm. do like a coup de grace there or something, Joe puts him in the coquina clutch. So they're kind of struggling around where the timekeeper area is,
mm-hmm.
and then Reigns spears both of them through the barricade.
Oh, that was great.
And then right after that, Seth did the frog splash
on
Bray through the table.
Death everywhere.
And then, after the first two people up back of the ring are Seth and Roman.
Mm-hmm.
That's the match of SummerSlam.
Yeah.
That's
you see that happening?
That's a guarantee.
Oh.
Because they tease the two of them earlier in the match.
Yeah.
And then when they finally got in the ring against each other, like the crowd popped. That's going to happen. Maybe at Great Balls of Fire, but I'm guessing SummerSlam.
Seth versus Roman, huh?
So I think it's be Seth Roman at SummerSlam and then
Bray Finn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then... Well, here, let's get through this. Let's finish this. I have an idea. It's not going to happen, but I have an idea.
All right, so take us through this finish here.
So Seth hits the buckle bomb on Reigns. Reigns bounces off the turnbuckle. Superman punches Rollins.
Oh, my God, I know. Completely no-sold the buckle bomb.
2 weeks in a row he's done that. Finn gets in the ring. He takes a Superman punch,
mm-hmm.
gets up, reverses a spear into a sling blade. Corner drop kick,
mm-hmm.
coup de grace on Reigns, goes for the cover, like right as the ref's hand is counting two, Joe comes from behind, puts him the coquina clutch,
mm-hmm.
Finn passes out,
and
Joe wins. So we have all these potential, like Joe potentially has a storyline with Finn, 2 weeks in a row, he's cost Finn a win.
Right.
Joe, Bray, mm-hmm. that's a potential story.
Yeah.
Seth, Reigns,
yeah.
they seem to be doing something there.
Yeah.
You still have Reigns, Bray, stuff they've been kind of doing.
Mm-hmm.
I have a thought. It's not going to happen. It's absolutely positively not going to happen.
Let's hear it.
So at Great Balls of Fire, we have Samoa Joe, Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Hopefully be a very fun match.
Hopefully it'll be great.
What
are the odds? What in your head, what are the odds it's going to be crap? You know, your typical Brock 3-minute suplex.
I don't think it's going to be that because I'd like to think that Brock has the respect for Joe that.
I know. That's what it all kind of comes down to.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Joe Lesnar is actually a pretty decent, hard-fought match.
Okay.
10 minutes in, Braun Strowman comes out, lays both of them out.
Okay.
Just destroys everybody.
Okay.
Joe is the first one to kind of come to, gets the pin on Lesnar. He's your champion.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Because Lesnar-Strowman doesn't need the belt at SummerSlam to happen.
That's a good point.
So you still have Lesnar-Strowman at SummerSlam.
Okay.
That's still a huge match. Then you could either do Joe Finn for the belt. Finn has a chance to get his Universal title back 1 year after winning it.
Okay.
Or you can do Joe Bray, or you can do Joe Finn Bray.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, Finn should win that title from Joe at SummerSlam.
Yep.
And that way, then we can get Finn Lesnar. So Finn at least gets that Universal title back.
Right.
One more time.
Holds it to like Survivor Series.
Something like that. Yeah. And then, Heyman teased wanting to see Finn Lesnar. We can get that down the line. Sure, Finn could lose it then. Give him another couple months with the belt.
Yeah.
Then you have Roman, Seth. It's a decent card.
Yeah, no, it's good. I like it.
Hopefully that happens.
Let's do it.
Probably won't.
Let's do that. Hey, you know what, though? I said book Neville to win, and they did that. So there you go.
I also said Ambrose should outsmart The Miz and win the Intercontinental title match, and I still think that was a better
finish. Well, here's the thing. I know, but they did what I said. And so,
well, then you should say what I just said, and then maybe it'll happen.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. I'm giving that the whatever if Vince
your
is
stamp
watching
of approval.
This is my seal of approval.
Well, you said the same thing about Ambrose. You said that's a good idea. That's more likely to happen. But I'm going to say the Miz.
No, I said the more obvious thing. I like the idea. I didn't want that to happen because I didn't predict it to happen.
Oh,
look, man. First and foremost, what I care about is predictions.
Number one, I know you care about
predictions.
Yourself.
I don't want to wear these goofy shirts. These are great though.
They're very bright.
They are very bright. This is very shocking to probably a lot of people watching this. So anyways, yeah, I mean, Raw should be interesting. Will it be? Who knows? Probably not.
If this were a SmackDown show, this were a SmackDown show, I'd be really excited about what's going to happen.
I know, me too.
On SmackDown on Tuesday.
But it's
But we'll see. There's really potential for some interesting stories to happen.
Yeah.
Probably won't, but let's be hopeful.
Let's be positive.
Do we want to open mail? We have mail.
Of course. You open letter. I'll open this guy. This is coming to us from Jermaine Martinez.
This is from W.S. Fletcher.
What a great name. Hello, what is your name, sir?
Oh.
Oh, my gosh! It's, what is that, Plantotunga, right?
Yeah.
I asked for that ages ago. That's fantastic. Thank you. Thank you, WS.
That's cool. Thank you.
That's great. I'm just taking my damn time here with this tape. Now the next side. You can send us stuff at P.O. Box 1814, Orangevale, California.
Yeah, be careful. Be careful about addresses. I noticed you didn't scratch them out.
No, I didn't scratch it out.
Yeah, don't rip anything of value.
Well, it's
sealed
in, like, plastic.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my goodness. What is this guy?
What is it? Ooh, posters.
Posters.
It was seen.
There's a note.
Read note.
Hey, Steven Larson.
Hi.
Picked up a few pieces of art at the latest SPW show in Sacramento a few weeks back. Thought they looked great for the Going In Raw set. My favorite one is the Bray Wyatt one because he's doing his possessed walk or skydiving when held upside down. Thanks for the content you guys provide us fans. Jermaine. Thank you, Jermaine.
Thank you, Jermaine.
Next SPW show, maybe we'll see you there. Because we got to go to one of those.
Yeah. They've been having them the same day as pay-per-views, though. The next one's on the same day as Money in the Bank.
Really?
Yep.
That's a bummer. Oh, look at me. Oh, man. I'm skydiving, man. Oh, wait. No, it'd be this way.
There you go.
Oh, man. Look at me. Oh, look at me, baby Orton. I'm coming to get you. Come down that red house, man. Look at that. I forgot my parachute. Breaking news. Sting will be the next bro member of Team Hype Bros.
Yeah.
Sting here. Cool.
Well, you can still say Steve here.
Yeah, that's a good point. Woo! Very earnest Ric Flair right there.
Focused.
That's great. It looks like something I did in like my high school art class. I was a good artist though, so it's not a knock. It's like somebody took a picture and they said, you get an A on that. Somebody wanted to be in art class. And then here's the Demon Balor. Where is Demon Balor?
Where is Demon Balor? I know.
He needs to show up. He's not showing up at Extreme Rules. Probably not going to show up. Oh, man. We didn't even talk about the Great Balls of Fire logo.
Oh, yeah.
It is literally just a dick and balls.
Yeah.
But they're in flame form.
Mm-hmm.
Yay or nay? It's got to be yay. You got to go all in on the Great Balls.
Yeah, I guess so.
And here I've got an idea. Dick and Balls. What? You see, I got an idea for a pay-per-view named Triple H, and it's Great Balls of Fire. It'll look like a shaft and testicles. Okay, Dad, sounds good. I find it funny that the new logo is a dick and balls.
Yeah, it was interesting that there's, I mean, I guess based on the title of the pay-per-view, it needs to be more than one ball of fire.
Can't just be one ball. Balls. But it's literally a sphere. Like, so they're two spheres.
There's two spheres right next to each other with a trail of flame
that
coming
looks
from
distinctly like
the,
a shaft.
From the spheres of fire.
I wish they could find some way to justify having like a bell end of fire. I don't think they can.
Probably not.
But I would like them to use their imagination, WWE marketing creative.
Yeah.
Anyways, hey, Dad, look, it's even got a little bell end on it. That's too much. Just the balls.
You think
shaft.
It's Vince that vetoed?
Yeah, they put a bell end on there. No, that's too much.
That's too much.
That's too much.
Not subtle enough.
It needs to be more subtle. Just balls in a shaft.
That way people can use their imaginations.
That was good. Good topper there. All right, anyways, that's it for Going In Raw. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.